There are over 100 psalms written to Psalm 23. So that's a very big number. Some 10 years ago, while we were ministering in Sydney, one of the sisters says, "Dr. To, why don't you write another one? Psalm 23. So, as I prayed, I wrote one verse. It was the morning we were going to leave for Melbourne. And the tune came to my heart, written by a Christian composer, Felix Mendelssohn. Those of you who are musicians, you may know this name, a Jewish convert. And that tune had been a very favorite tune in our home, and it was a very lovely melody of wings of song. So I wrote one verse. I'm telling you the story so that you will sing it with greater appreciation and meaning. When we reached Melbourne, then the Lord enabled me to write verses 2 and 3. That's how we have hymn number 108. I want to sing with you tonight, and I want to help you to sing with a better understanding, a better expression, and with better spirit. The Lord's is 108. Please turn there, and we are going to stand when we sing for this, because you sing better. You know, when we were in Adelaide, the Korean congregation of about 30 or 40, when they sing, it is with such spirit and power, it beats 200 of us here. Much better. I say, you need to eat some Korean ginseng. Then when you get up, you can sing with power, with meaning, with spirit, with feeling from the heart. Or don't just sing there like, no, tidapa, just sing. No, you must understand. You say, the Lord, who is this Lord? The Lord is my shepherd. We have read that psalm so many times, but I want to share with you this hymn. The Lord is my wonderful shepherd. All right, let's hear the music, and we stand and sing. The Lord's my wonderful shepherd. Follow me for the tempo also. Ready, sing. The Lord's my wonderful shepherd. In Him I shall not want. He makes me lie in green pastures. He leads us to waters still. To me my wonderful shepherd. loving Savior and Redeemer, Jesus Christ, we render to Thee this hymn of praise as from our hearts, as from sinners saved by grace, as sheep brought into Thy fold, and under the care of that great Shepherd of the sheep, we thank Thee for such a great salvation we have in Him, the One who loved us and gave Himself for us. O Lord our God, look down from Thy holy throne on these Thy people gathered in this hill resort, that we may spend every moment profitably thinking, meditating about our Savior and His love, and that He is the One who even now, seated in glory on high, is praying for us, interceding and preparing a place for us, and soon coming for us. O Lord, may this blessed thought lift our hearts and our eyes to look to the heavenly place, that soon we may hear that midnight cry, that bridegroom cometh. O Lord, may Thy people be ready, everyone with lamps trimmed and filled with oil, ready for the bridegroom's coming. Bless our hearing, may Thy Holy Spirit anoint our ears, and grant Thy servant to speak Thy word with clarity and power. We ask it for the glory of Thy name. Amen. Please be seated. Tonight we continue with Psalm 23. And last night we said, the Lord is my shepherd. Who is the Lord? Do you know Him? Again, I like to ask this question so that no one who is at this camp will go home and not know Him as your own good shepherd. This Lord is the One who came from the bosom of the Father, the One who loved us and gave Himself for us, who said, I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep, for us. And He says, look unto me and be saved. Think of the day when you took Him to be your Savior, and He took you to be His sheep. And this is a loving and lifelong relationship. The Lord is my shepherd, and we follow Him. And He says, my sheep know my voice, and we will follow Him all the way. Now, the same verse says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The two go hand in hand together. If you know Him as your shepherd, and He takes you to be His sheep, then the second part of this sentence follows. I shall not want. It is a profound and inspired statement. So let us spend the next few moments examining what this I shall not want means to us. I shall not want means I shall lack nothing which my shepherd deems needful and good for me. It must be qualified. As I've impressed on you last night, in all these things we must define, qualify. What do you mean? Does it mean I shall not want means I'll never lack anything on earth? No, friends, it doesn't mean that. My good shepherd knows all my needs. In fact, He knows it better than I do, because He knows me through and through. He is my Creator, my Redeemer, and He is the Divine Shepherd, the perfect shepherd. So that when you say, I shall not want, it does not mean to say that I shall never be in any kind of need, or that I will never encounter difficult situations in life, such as poverty. Today there is the prosperity gospel. We call them the prosperity cult. Come to Jesus and all will be well. You will prosper. You will be very rich. Whatever you ask, materially, visualize it, you will get it. No, dear friends, this verse doesn't mean that. In fact, our Lord Jesus promises all believers, in me, ye shall have tribulation. Tribulation includes all the sufferings, you can name them, but the Lord says, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. In this world, you will go through difficulties and tribulations. And when they come, remember what the Lord told us. He said, you will. This is part and parcel of the Christian experience. But be of good cheer. Don't be downhearted or depressed. Don't ever give up. But when these things come, remember the Lord says so. And He says, be of good cheer. Why? These things in the world are part and parcel of this worldly life that we have to go through, but our God is in supreme command. He has overcome the world and all its temptations and attractions and these things that come to us like snares, traps. Don't be afraid. Our Lord is victorious, ever victorious. And He says, I have overcome the world. Don't be afraid of it. We in this world can go through this earthly pilgrimage. Say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Because I have Him, Jesus, as my shepherd. I shall never be without help in time of need. Now that is included in this. I shall not want. I shall not want necessary help. True? Oh yes. The Lord says we are to approach unto the throne of grace often. And there you will find grace and mercy to help in time of need. The Good Shepherd is ever with us to lead us, to comfort us, protect us, and then to answer all our prayers. So He has not left us helpless. I shall not want. I will never be in need of the help that I need. I will never be without the help that I need when the time comes. You know, our Lord says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It is a promise. So when you have Him as your good shepherd and you follow, then you have that assurance, all of us here, assurance that He is with us and He will never forsake us. Paul, the great servant of Jesus Christ, I say his example gives us a lot of encouragement. Paul, the one who went about destroying Christians and churches, but when Jesus appeared to him, he turned around, and from that day, he became the bond servant of Christ. So that he can say, for to me to live is Christ. The only thing worthwhile for me to do is to live for Christ. Now, he followed the perfect shepherd. And his reward on earth is more than the normal share of suffering of any Christian. You can say that. I would say no one went through that kind of suffering as Paul did. Stripes, imprisonment, tumults, labors, watchings, stonings, shipwreck, fasting, cold, nakedness, hunger, poverty, quite the whole lot. What a catalogue of sufferings. Then he says,
as poor.
Ah, he had nothing. He had lost everything for Christ. And he counted all the things he ever lost, but rubbish, dung, in order that he might win Christ. And win Christ plus suffering. And he says, that is, to me, his greatest gain. How can it be? It's a paradox, isn't it? But yet, to gain Christ is worth all the sufferings that ever come upon you, as long as you have the Lord as your shepherd. So he says, as poor, Paul was never rich, tent maker, with his own hands he supported himself. With his own hands he earned, and he could even support those churches in need. So he says, yes, as I am poor, yet making many rich. Another paradox. How can a poor man make others rich? He suffered the poverty of material things. The poverty of no comfort, no luxury in life, only suffering, in order that he might bring the riches of the knowledge of Jesus Christ to others. That is rich. For our Lord Jesus, though he was rich, yet he came on earth and became poor, that we, through his poverty, might be rich. How rich are you? Not what bank account you have, but what account you have with God in heaven. Oh, what have you got stored up there? And all of us have great riches when you come into the domain of Jesus Christ whom you serve. So, Paul says, as poor, yet making many others rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. Again, another paradox. How can I have nothing and possess all things? Yes, no material wealth, but all the heavenly blessings, he has them. Please turn to Philippians 4, then we can read together another example of Paul's suffering, and his experience is worth our learning from. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 11. The second part of verse 11. Paul here says, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And I say, contentment is the greatest gain and the greatest riches. Do you have contentment? Godliness is contented? The greatest gain? Verse 12. I know both how to be abased, to be deprived, to be poor, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things because the Lord is my shepherd. You can say that, all of us here. I can do all things. I can suffer. I can be abased. And I can abound. I can suffer hunger. I can enjoy fullness when he gives it to me. All these things because the Lord is my shepherd. Now we go on to Psalm 23, verse 2. Please turn there again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Verse 2 says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Whenever I read this verse, I think of a place like, say, Switzerland. The green mountainside, green pastures covering the lakeside, and a beautiful blue water lake. And there, imagine myself to be just a sheep of the Lord. What a wonderful place to be, isn't it? And it says, the Lord is my shepherd, and he maketh me to lie down. Lie down in green pastures depicts a very peaceful situation. Calm, restful, tranquil, contented, blessed. And this is what the Lord will do for us when we are His sheep. He leads us to that wonderful place, beside the still waters. Green pastures, not brownish pastures. There are some, you know. You go to Australia, once it is summer, the whole hillside becomes brown. And yet, it is grass. And yet, the sheep still go and eat it, if there's nothing else to eat. But it is still grass. But no, here it says, He leads me to green pastures. Green meaning fresh, succulent, almost juicy, and nourishing, nutritious, delicious, wholesome food beside the still waters that He knows to be pure, wholesome, uncontaminated. He knows. He is the divine shepherd. He knows what is best for us. Do you trust in Him? How is your prayer life? You pray for Him to lead you every day. Say, Lord, lead me as a good shepherd to green pastures and still waters. And He will answer your prayer. He will lead you to just the place where there is a proper nutrition, proper food for your spirit, not for your body necessarily. Let us consider a day in the life of the flock. And imagine a flock in Palestine. Not in New Zealand. If you come from New Zealand or Australia, it's a very different situation. There they have thousands and they use a sheep dog or some kind of electronic robot machine and the sheep all run whenever you give the command. In Palestine, where David was, the shepherd walked in front and the sheep followed him. There is a great difference. Why? If my shepherd goes before me with the rod and staff, all dangers he faces first. I'm behind him. He is my safeguard, my shield, my protection, and I follow him. This is the good shepherd. He risks his life. He leads on whatever comes before. And as I said, let's imagine a day in the life of the sheep. You get up early in the morning, the shepherd will call, and when you hear his voice, his familiar voice, his figure walking before you, all the sheep will follow with confidence. Why? He's a good shepherd. He knows where he's going. He has surveyed the land already. He knows the route. He knows where the grass is. He knows where the water is. He knows of any hidden dangers along the way. And in Palestine, there are dangers. Dangers such as wild beasts. Remember, we read, David says, one day a lion came. Another time, a bear came. And there are wolves. And there are other kinds of dangerous things like snakes. All these things lurk sometimes behind the rocks, sometimes in caves. The good shepherd has surveyed the way. He knows exactly where to go, how far it is, the dangers along the way. He even studies the weather, because it may be a thunderstorm coming, maybe some kind of typhoon coming. All these things are possible. The good shepherd is a very knowledgeable person. He understands weather. He understands terrain. He understands the nature of the sheep, how far they can walk. He must not drive them unduly, because if you do so, the young sheep, the lambs, they will suffer. They can't go the whole day in the midday heat, for example. So we have a wonderful shepherd who understands the sheep, the terrain, the danger, and the weather. And he has gone the way many times ahead. And so he leads, and so we go along with him. He has mapped the route. And in his mind, he is ready to lead us. What a wonderful shepherd. If I were a sheep, I would be very confident, contented. I feel secure. My shepherd is before me. And this road may be difficult, but he is a good guide and he protects me. Consider the Christian as a sheep of the flock of Jesus Christ. You say, well, I am very poor. The Lord has not blessed me. In fact, I can hardly make my ends meet, right? Very difficult nowadays. I'm maybe lost my job. I can just scrape barely 2 meals a day. I'm a very frugal person at the moment because of force of circumstances. What do you say to that? Can you still say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? This is a practical question. You have lost your job. You got no income. There are difficulties along the way. And my family went through that in the 30s. Then mother and father says, Lord, you have led us as a good shepherd to the South Seas, Nanyang. We were all in China. Now we all come to Malaysia. Lord, will you, as a good shepherd, lead us out of a terrible situation in China, then put us in the worst situation in Malaysia, and then starve us to death? Can that be? Now this is practical, you see. So when you read this psalm in the 1930s, father and mother with 4, 5, 6 mouths to feed as the children kept arriving, then you say, the Lord is my shepherd. He who leads us out of great danger, will he now abandon us to starve to death in the rubber estate? Answer is no. He promises, you will not want. I will supply your need. Even though you are starving, God will come to help through friends, through prayer. Amazing things happen. Alright? I can only tell you tonight. Amazing things did happen. How God helped us the way we can never imagine or predict. The only thing is, you know, I have a good shepherd and I call to him. I cry to him. I plead with him. Lord help. And the Lord helped. I shall not want. Men of the world may be filled with goods of this world. Influence unlimited, power and material riches, so that you can say those people materially, socially very secure. But I say this, don't envy them, please. Whatever else you do, never envy the rich people of the world. Because when all is said and done, because they do not know the good shepherd, when the eventual reckoning comes, they have nothing left. And they face a gloomy and a terrible future. Although on earth now they are having what a wonderful time. Think of Lazarus and that rich man. At death, all is revealed. One had the good shepherd. Lazarus had nothing, only a beggar. But he had Jesus as his shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, even though I have no friends, only dogs. But Lazarus was conveyed, immediately transported by angels to heaven. Then the rich man died, and he went into a suffering of hell. Consider now the shepherd's care of the sheep. It leaves nothing wanting. Do you believe that? Can you trust this great shepherd that if I follow him, I shall never want anything? He leaves nothing wanting. This is a test of faith. And that this shepherd cares for me 24 hours a day. 365 days a year and 366 days next year, he cares for me. And that psalm says, the Lord is thy keeper. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee shall neither slumber nor sleep. He is your keeper who is alert and awake and alive and with you all the way. What a wonderful shepherd he is. Thank God for him. And he is a wonderful shepherd again because he doesn't take vacation leave. He doesn't say, well, for 21 days a year, I'm going to be absent. You look after yourself. We have a wonderful shepherd who doesn't need, that never takes vacation. And every day he leads us. Not a day excepted. Every day he leads you. How does he lead you? How do you begin the day? I say, dear friends, if you have not experienced it, begin. Let this camp establish a habit, a godly habit for you. If you, husbands and wives and children, are not in the habit of praying together, morning and night, establish the habit here now. And when you go home, don't give it up. Because when you come together, you are, as it were, the sheep coming together to meet with a shepherd. And the shepherd will meet with you and map with you the route for the day. And he'll go with you, but you have to come to him every morning. So, let's all learn this lesson to come to the good shepherd even at the break of dawn. For he goes with us from the break of dawn until the setting sun, the whole day. And after the setting sun has gone down, through the night he's still with you. Sometimes sheep are wayward, as I told you, they're stubborn and stupid, and some sheep, they stray from the flock, stray from the shepherd, and they think they know better, and they get into trouble, and then they have to turn back. But the good shepherd still goes after them to save them. Only the good shepherd makes me lie down in green pastures. And with him, you can be assured of a secure place. Now, I was reading a book, and it says, sheep by nature are very timid and excitable. Even a stray dog can create panic among hundreds sheep, just because one stray dog and they all panic. And indeed, when a fierce dog comes in, one fierce dog can kill 100 sheep. Because the sheep are defenseless. They do not know how to protect themselves or how to take cover. They are just completely at the mercy of wild dogs. When we have the shepherd, he protects us from all kinds of harm and danger. His mere presence allays the fears of the sheep. As I said, something, even a dog, one bark and the sheep all go panicky. But when the shepherd is there, at his voice, they calm down. At the sight of the shepherd, they calm down. At the sight of his staff, they calm down. For the shepherd keeps away all foes. Who are your enemies? He said, nobody. Or, what are your enemies? When I was small, of course, we are all afraid of the dark. All of us. He says, men fear death, children fear the dark. But, mother always says, pray, Lord be with me. You are the shepherd, I'm your sheep. The Lord with you. Then suddenly you don't feel frightened anymore. You're not afraid because you have the good shepherd with you. I say, please, teach this to your children. Teach them young, from young, as soon as they can listen, understand anything, the moment they can speak, teach them how to pray, how to call on the Lord Jesus, and how to follow him every day. Sometimes among the sheep there are those domineering types. even as we have them in the church. And so, as I said, sheep are a picture of us. And in the flock of sheep, you can see the picture of the church in those sheep. Some of them begin to bully other sheep. And then there's trouble. Because the other sheep do not know how to defend themselves. There will be rivalry, jealousies among sheep. Oh yes, they learn jealousy also. And some of them are very aggressive. Look at ourselves. Are we like those rather unruly sheep? Look to the shepherd. Let him come into our lives. And he will teach us how we ought all to submit to him. To turn our eyes upon Jesus. And let him lead. Because he knows the way. Where to go? How far to go? How can we know? The Lord says, I am the way. I am the door. We read this a moment ago. I am the door. And he knows all the way ahead. For he himself is the way. And he leads me beside the still waters, which he knows best. Now, in my reading, I was enlightened with something which I had guessed but didn't know very well. It says, the best time for sheep to feed on the pasture is before dawn, before sunrise. Why? Because the night dew falls on the grass. And before the sun is up, grass is soaked with dew. So that, as it were, it is now grass plus water. And that is the best time the good shepherd gets the sheep out to the green pastures before dawn. And then they have a juicy feed on grass and pure dew. Even like the dew of Hermon, that grass is very nourishing. Application. Can you guess? I say, dear friends, we are like the sheep. And the best time to feed on the Word of God, which is our soul food, is before sunup. Which is my lifelong habit, and I pass on to you. Before sunup, when that grass is filled with dew, the Word of God, with the water of life, the water of the Holy Spirit, comes with you, to you. As you read God's Word and feed on that Word, you are going to find a difference in your life for the day. Those sheep that get the early morning dewy grass, they are contented sheep. The rest of the day is a wonderful day. The shepherd knows it, and he sees to it, all the sheep are up there to feed on the best part of the grass. So, put that to practice. God's Word is a wonderful Word. Get up early and say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And this green pastures and still waters is just exactly here. The Word of God. Early in the morning, you get up and read it and let God nourish you with that. Let us turn, as we conclude this evening's meditation, to John 6. John chapter 6. That as we think of the green pastures and still waters, we may be enlightened and brought into a deeper truth that the real food for us is the Lord Jesus himself. John 6:35, the Lord says to us, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth in me shall never thirst. I am the bread of life. I am the drink of life. I am the water of life. These two depict our essential nourishment for our souls. I am the bread of life. Do you feed on Him? How do you feed on the Lord Jesus? Coming to Him, fellowship with Him, communing with Him, meditating on His Word, and daily following Him. Receiving from Him the life that comes from Him alone. So we can then say, Jesus is my bread of life, and He is my drink of life. Now verse 51, Jesus says again, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Here we hark back to the time of the Exodus. 40 long years, God's people were nourished by manna. What is manna? Answer, angel food, they call it. God's miracle bread from heaven. Where did it come from? There are scientists today who use microscopes and crawl along the Sinai Desert, looking at all the small little plants and studying which plant can produce this starchy, flaky bread that can feed 2 million people. So they go around with microscope studying. But they are looking at the wrong place, not in the sand, up in the clouds. The God who could feed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Yeah, the same God. The Lord Jesus called the disciples and said, these people are hungry. It's nightfall almost. Give them to eat. And the disciples said, what can we give them? And the Lord says, isn't there any food? And somebody says, yes. This boy has got 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Come along. Jesus took it, and as He took, the miracle was enacted. The God of creation, the one by whom all things were made, without whom nothing was made that was made, and He, in His hands, began to create from nothing. From 2 fishes, He could feed 5,000, so the 2 could have become 2,000 or 10,000, and they were distributed. The bread, enough to feed 5,000, and then at the end of it, 12 baskets were left. Who is that wonderful Jesus? The Lord Jesus. He is my shepherd. And He who fed the 5,000 will feed me every day. Not the 3 meals, but He Himself. Verse 51. I am the living bread. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. Although all of them, everyone who left Egypt of age 20 and above, all of them died in the wilderness. But while they lived on what? Manna. The bread of God. God sent down that bread in order to nourish them. But there is a lesson. Without that bread, they would have died immediately within a matter of a week or two. All of them would have died. So God sent the miracle bread to tell them, man does not live by bread alone, but by the miracle work of God. By the word of God, by the work of God, by the miracle of God, God sustains His people. Surely, God does not call His people out of Egypt, bondage, then starve them to death. God sends the food for them. Bread from heaven, manna. And yet they died. They ate miracle food. Miracle food. Yet they died. So the Lord says, look, the lesson is this. Those Jews would have died if there was no manna. Alright, God sent manna to keep them alive, and yet they died. Now, what must He do? Send you more manna? No. I am the manna. I am the bread of life. Come to me. So look at verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he say, how can I eat Jesus? The Chinese have got a very apt description. Whenever we go witnessing to the Chinese people, they say, oh, jia ka. That's your cue, huh? I don't know whether they say it in Mandarin is that way or not. Jia ka. They all say, eating your religion, Jesus Christ. So here it is. Jesus says, if you eat me, you live. How do you eat Jesus? I assimilate him. All that he says, I take in. And put into my system, every word of God is the bread of life. I receive it, for he is the living word. Jesus Christ is the living word of God. When I receive him, I take him in. I am, as it were, spiritually feeding on him, the bread of life. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. Do you have that intimate connection to receive Jesus? Eating it in. Continue verse 51. If any man eat of this bread, Jesus says, he will eat of me, you will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Verse 53. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The pastures and the waters are right here now depicted in our Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the food of life. You come to him and receive him by faith into your system. My heart, soul, mind, strength, all are at your disposal, O Lord. I receive you into my heart and soul, mind and strength. You be part of me, Jesus Christ, my Lord. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. But when you come to him and receive him, you are, as it were, eating, drinking Jesus. At his table every month, we commemorate verse 54. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. Dear friends, come to this shepherd every day. Love him more each day. Serve him and follow him. And say, Lord, I will follow you all the way until we all arrive in that place you have prepared for us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee that we have a good shepherd, even Jesus Christ our Lord. He is that good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. We thank thee that he leads us day by day to green pastures and still waters, even to himself, the bread of life and the drink of life, that in him we may find life everlasting. O Lord our God, bless every hearer here tonight, that we who have come here will return home enriched, strengthened, encouraged to follow Jesus all the way, to hear his voice and to submit ourselves for his service. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.